Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in construction, real estate, and development? We pull back the curtain on the new home construction industry, the real estate market, and the trends shaping it all. Discover the stories, insights, and expertise behind the process of building a new home. Join us for Trust the Process podcast, and let's build something great together. Welcome back to Trust the Process podcast, where we talk about new homes, the real estate industry, construction, and everything in between. So today we're going to talk about product and pricing. So how does a builder come up with pricing? How do we decide what's going to go on any specific lot? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a catch-22 because you're building out to a product that you're going to market months from now. So yeah. It's anticipating what's going to, what there might be an appetite in that area for and how you put that pricing together. So an interesting topic and one that seems really relevant for every area. These questions have
it does,
to be
right? This is all
every
universal.
Time something new right. goes into play.
Right.
So
what I liked and I wanted to circle back to is that you're putting something out there that you're not marketing, or you're trying to create, mm-hmm. manifest something that you're not going to even market for 7 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. If it's a subdivision, I have two pieces of raw land right now we're working through entitlements on. I have tentative map approval on one, and I won't even have the civils and all the offsite improvement permitted until October, which is in 7 months from now. We won't even be able to move any dirt over there for 7 months, let alone building the homes, mm-hmm. and marketing the homes and selling the homes. These are residences that will be moving, you know, these residents will be moving into their homes in probably Christmas of 26, potentially. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It could easily be Christmas of 2026. So to try to imagine what the market's going to want.
It's just dirt, and you have to conceptualize what you're going to put there, how much you're going to price it at, how much you want to put into it to know what you might get out of it. So
it is. And that is that those have a tentative map approved, which means the lot lines are there, the lot sizes, everything's there. I can walk on. I know this is going to be lot one once we build the street. And the little cul-de-sac, this is going to be lot one. This is going to be lot two. This is the kind of views lot two is going to have. So I am at least hemmed in a little bit by that. But they are pretty, they're like 6,800 square foot home sites. They're very regular. Do I build more custom, semi-custom that will maximize the lots? Do I do a unique home for each lot?
Yeah.
Do I hit the upper echelon of the price point? And the median sales price in that area is around $650,000. Mm-hmm. But there's some new construction that are in the twos. There's some luxury homes. I'm talking within, you know, a quarter mile, by the way, the crow flies, that are up to 15 million. Some celebrities live within this same zip code, within the same area. Well, they'll pass this neighborhood. So how high can I push it, right?
Right.
But then there's other objections to this particular parcel. It's pretty close to a major thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. It has a drainage wash on the other side of the road that I have to build. It's not touching my community, but it's an objection that might not matter for a $900,000 buyer, but will matter for a $1,900,000 buyer, and certainly up and above and beyond that. So I can put whatever I want there, but there are going to be objections that I'm going to hear. Two of those homes will back that street. All the homes will be able to see that street because the way it's kind of off at an L. Mm-hmm. So every single one of those, you'll stand in the garage and look down that thoroughfare. It's not an ugly thoroughfare. It's actually well managed a manicured thoroughfare, but people go around 50 miles an hour on that thoroughfare. And another objection to that on the topic of the speed is that you can only make a right-hand turn and then do a U-turn to go out if you're going west.
And so, beyond that is a bit of a view. There's something to be, I mean, it's a beautiful lot of size.
It has so many pluses.
Yes.
So geographics, amazing. If you just looked at a map, you'd say, push it to 2 million because you can get it. Mm-hmm. If you walk the site, honestly, I like 700,000, somewhere in between. I the conservative side of me will say, ooh, don't push it. You don't want to hear these objections. But then the other part of me thinks, gosh, there's two guard-gated country clubs around the corner from here. There are $25 million homes that are visible
right
from
there.
The
yeah.
parcel.
Yes.
All the new construction in that area. So if you want to be in that area, and it's a very desirable area, all the new construction is luxury. And the few production builders that are in that neighborhood are 1.2 is the lowest. So I know that, is that my floor? So I think my floor is probably 1 million. And I think my ceiling is probably 1.5. So now it comes to, all right, let's find that price. Mm-hmm. Let's find that product that will carry that sales price, because we think the neighborhood and the lots can carry that sales price. Mm-hmm. What kind of designs, finishes, and square footage and amenities are people going to expect for that sales price? And that those are knowables. I can get an idea of where the market is.
And those can change a little bit. The finishes, the, you know, end product. We're going to use this quality of a product.
Yeah, we can do Whirlpool versus Jen Air if we find that. Oh, we kind of.
We've kind of maxed it. Or if heaven forbid, anything should happen. Or something opens up and then you realize you want to build a little bit higher.
Which I'm doing on my Serene project. You know, it was kind of slated to be in this 1.5. And then I've based off of the preliminary interest we're getting, I'm realizing, no, these are probably $2 million homes. And they will become $2 million homes if we do them right. Let's do black aluminum windows. Let's do glass garage doors. Let's do really nice finishes. We're working with plans that I have already finalized and designed. So that part now I can't change. So as you kind of, you start making those decisions.
And then you hit the mark and you missed it.
Then you have to try to zig and zag down. Yeah. Right. So this parcel I bought with the tentative map approved. So that part was decided for me. Okay. I know they're going to be 6,500 square foot home sites. They're going to be irregular. It's going to be hard to get like two different models on these lots. So I think that that made it a little bit easier for me. And then I said, okay, well, what can go here? And then once I design the homes and finalize and pay for architects and engineers and get that process started, now I'm locked into the structures. And then there's only so much I can do from there to either save money or maximize returns. So you just kind of go as far as you can to the brink. And then as you make decisions, when I build in country clubs, I roughly know the lot. So I'm only doing usually one off. I mean, we have a batch running through of four in that in South Shore. So those, I had the lots and I was able to put the same plan on two of them and then a similar plan on the third and then a single story on the other just to mix up my product offering. But once I had all the architecturals designed, now we're pouring those foundations this week. So I have to order windows. So I ordered windows on one. I'll order windows, you know, so this week I have to have all the windows ordered because they're 6 weeks out. So as the lead time item starts to come to where I need to have them ordered so that they're here on time, that's when I start making decisions. Aluminum, thermally broken bronze aluminum windows, bronze color aluminum windows are roughly twice as much as the same product in vinyl, and then fiberglass somewhere in between.
Energy efficiency and some
pieces. Yeah, there's some, do I buy a name brand?
And with that one, when you're building in South Shore, you're limited by the HOA too. They have criteria that you have to meet for the exterior.
Oh, so for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You
can. I just can't. I can't change anything on the outside. Once I've submitted it to the HOA, submitted my design and my elevations, that's it. I can change windows, but I have to reapply. So this one, I'm deciding to do a bronze window. I just have to send it in. That's an approved window. But FYI, on this one, I'm going to do that. So there's certain lots that I can, after I kind of walk them and simmer on it, I think, okay, can I push this one to 2.5? Okay, this one has some objections then. And I've seen the where the foundation is and just kind of walked it in 3D space. This one might be a 1.85er. Let's dial down the spec a little bit to vinyl windows. And then maybe I'll do a lower cabinet line that's not as custom. That's still appropriate for 1.9, but not something that would carry me up to 2.5. But those are... I'm, you know, making those decisions on the fly as we get hit certain cutoffs. So you got to go all the way back now to when it's a parcel. Yeah. Thankfully, this one, as an example, is something that I had the lot sizes. But now it's time, now that the engineers are working on the civil improvement plans and the train's left the station, so to speak, I have to start conceptualizing the homes that are going to go there because that's another 3 to 4 months worth of architectural and engineering that I want to overlap with the engineering of the actual parcel and the site work so that I can have my homes in for permitting when I'm doing all the road, the curb, the gutter, the walls, the grading, so that when all that's done, I have a permit for the house. So it's actually sooner than you might think in the process. It's more upstream than you would think. Many people might think, oh, the developer just graded all these lots and the road's been built and the curb and gutter's in. Now they're probably starting to think about now they're probably starting to think about what homes they put there. By the time they're at that point, they better have their homes in permitting, if not permitted, because you want to get going. The cost of money is just astronomical. It's around 1% a month. So if you're borrowing $2 million on that project, it's costing you $20,000 a month to sit on it. So you want to overlap as much of your time as possible so you minimize that downtime. You have to go through engineering. You have to go through the civil improvement process. You have to go through public works and you have to go through actually developing it. You might as well. You have to go through that anyway. So you're paying carrying costs on that as it is. You might as well get all your engineering and architectural work done at the same time so that you can be ready to go. So that being said, you're doing this pretty upstream, right? You're a year before you're breaking ground, even on the site development, on the site work, you're a year and you're trying to conceptualize the plans. So that's where I'm at on this particular project. And then I have another project that's even farther upstream because that one is kind of in the same area, has a lot of the same objections, is hemmed in by two existing neighborhoods. One more high end, and then one, you know, I don't want to say lower end because it's still a really desirable area, yeah, but it's below, yeah, it's production, and it's below the median sales price that, right, that neighborhood. So we've got those two things kind of working, either fit with us or against us. And then I also have to figure out how I want to lay that out, because I have to go to the city either way for a zoning change. So do I maximize it? It'll only hold about 11 to 12. I could probably hold 19 total. It'd be a lot of site work, but practically it can hold probably up to 12. And if I did a custom, it could be down to 3 or 4, just luxury infill homes. So where do I go? So I'm going to shoot for the highest density possible, see if the city will let me do it, which would be, I don't want to say highest density possible, because that'd be like around 19 or 20. So I'm going to shoot for 11, where it's like the most practical highest density, that balancing act. And if they'll give me that kind of density, then we'll have 11 homes approved with that 10 of the map. Then when I have that kind of clarity, then I can decide what kind of product is going to go there. So to get 11 homes are going to be like 35 by 140 foot lots. So it's going to be a narrow home, about as wide as a garage and a front door. So you got to get real creative architecturally on the second floor to make it stand out. And then you have, mm-hmm, to pick your spec level to say,
and what square footage? Carry?
Well, that's, I mean, there's some views there because you're getting farther up the mountain, right, when you're at that point. The road is not as busy. It's about a quarter mile up. So, but it is also a right turn only U-turn. So there's some objections there. And do you gate it? Do you not? So the reason, I don't mean to dodge your question, but no, if you're going to do, yes, those things, if you're going to gate it, if you're going to make it an 11 home HOA, it's going to have high HOA fees because it's now divided only over 11, only 11, sure, homes. Then you better have a home that's going to carry that kind of HOA, and then you better make it worth it to have it gated. So you probably need to maximize your building pads to get 29, 3200 square foot homes, maybe even do a third floor rec room observation deck because there are some views up there, mm-hmm, to pump up the square footage. So those are the decisions that I can't really get my head around it right now, but I want to go into that price point. You know, I want to be at that 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. So I'll just have to see if the city says you can only do 7 and the lots become a lot wider and they're larger, lower density, maybe I can push it to 1.5. But there is a number where I just, no matter how, even if I just did one home there, it's still going to hit some resistance. Mm-hmm. So there's just kind of that balancing act. And that one is as far upstream as you can get. It's raw land. And I'm working with the zoning changes as we speak. The engineers, we're going to have our tentative map by Monday.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have that submitted to the city, and then we get comments back about 2 weeks later where they'll say, oop, too many homes. We don't like this. We don't like that. We're worried about the traffic on Horizon Ridge and the right turn only. And we have these reservations. Could you either address these things, or could you do 8, or could you do 7? And then it'll change what I put there. So that's the decision making. So I already.
A huge risk on your part. You're just making decisions at like you said, upstream, so far upstream. Yeah. From where the boats will actually float, right?
Yep.
You're really making, yeah, decisions. You're
right.
Guessing.
That you've many times.
Guess. And they're educated guesses. You've done it enough times.
I have, yeah.
To know, but there's still some uncertainty in it and a risk you're putting yourself out.
Uncertainty. Yeah, it's a lot, yeah, of uncertainty. and we're talking on the one we just mentioned. Now we're talking, some of those sales might, the last 4 or 5 might easily be in 27. Mm-hmm. Could easily be summer of 27. I'm not going to build all 11 at once. I'll flood the market. So, yeah, I might deliver some in 26, even that's really aggressive.
Depending how much infrastructure there is and how much land moving you have to do in order to make the lots accommodate what you're talking about.
And
it's
a lot.
It could be, it's time consuming.
It's three, yeah.
If you want to know how time consuming, you go back to our codes episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know everyone's chomping at the bit to go to that codes episode.
I know.
But
we also talked a lot about the timelines.
We did.
Not the build to suit primarily, but on the timelines, yeah, in general.
It is. And our subdivisions episode as well, we talked about how long it takes to get through a tentative map and entitlements and zoning changes and civil improvement plans, mm-hmm, and public works and Department of Transportation. And thankfully, these aren't affected by that. It's a city road, not a state road. But there's always something. There's always some weird thing. This has a hillside overlay, most likely. We'll see.
Okay.
Which requires a lot more studies. We'll have to 3D map the slope. We'll have to say how many, say, dead sage brushes we're removing and how many desert hares we're removing and desert scorpions. Tortoises and scorpions. Yeah. And beetles might be displaced. Yeah. Scorpions. Yeah. So there's going to be, it's a developing story.
About a 6-month timeline for that hillside overlay?
Yeah. You can do other things during that time. Sure. But so yeah, it's, yeah. But more or less by the time you're through it all, by the time you do the 3D mapping and send it through and do all those studies, and it probably adds, I don't know, on the order of around 50,000 dollars worth of additional engineering and surveys and statements and legal fees. And it's usually advised to get a lawyer through those things, not in an adversarial position, but just to have a lawyer on your side working you through it. Those are the factors that affect the product. And it's not that simple. It's not just, oh, I've got this 50 by 100 lot. I think I'll put a 2000 square foot home here and call it a day.
Right. And it's interesting because, again, you know, it's kind of a pullback on the curtain. Now we're seeing some of those decisions that are made in advance. And, you know, drive around town and you see the outcropping of homes pop up and you're like, oh, well, that must have just started. But to think about all of the time and, hours of thought and process and policy and all of those things. And then, like you're saying, sort of the strategic pieces that, you know, if there were fewer homes, these would be the ramifications. If you build a little bit larger homes, these, so all those pieces that go into it and all the brains and thoughts that have gone into it before it ever even starts to look like it could be a sold parcel. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
It is.
Thanks for the behind the scenes look. These are the kind of things that we hope to hear about, and I look forward to hearing more of them from you. Thanks to you guys for joining us on another episode of Trust the Process podcast, and we will look forward to seeing you again next time. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning into the Trust the Process podcast. Make sure to follow us on Spotify to stay in the loop with the latest insights, project updates, and everything in between. See you next time.